Every good story has a few secrets. At least, that's what I've been told. Sometimes there's secrets about love, secrets about family, secrets about murder. Some so inconsequential they barely feel like secrets at all, but monumental to the person keeping them. Every person has a secret. Every secret has a story. And in my head, every story has a happy ending. If I were the heroine in a story, I would tell you that I had three secrets. One, I hadn't washed my hair in 4 days. Two, my family owned a funeral home. And three, I was the ghostwriter of mega best-selling, critically acclaimed romance novelist Anne Nichols. And I was sorely late for a meeting. "Hold the door!" I shouted, bypassing the security personnel at the front desk and sprinting toward the elevators.
"Miss!"
the befuddled security guard shouted after me.
"You have to check in. You can't just..."
"Florence Day, Falcon House Publishers. Call up to Erin and she'll approve me." I tossed over my shoulder and slid into one of the elevators, cactus in tow. As the doors closed, a graying man in a sharp business suit eyed the plant in question. "A gift to butter up my new editor," I told him, because I wasn't someone who just carried around small succulents wherever she went. God knows it's not for me. I kill everything I touch, including three cactuses. Cacti? Already. The man coughed into his hand and angled himself away from me. The woman on the other side said, as if to console me, "That's lovely, dear." Which meant that this was a terrible gift. I mean, I figured it was, but I had been stranded for too long on the platform waiting for the B train, having a small panic attack with my brother on the phone when a little old lady with rollers in her hair tottered by selling cacti for like a dollar a pop, and I bought things when I was nervous. Mainly books, but I guess now I bought houseplants too. The guy in the business suit got off on the 20th floor, and the woman who held the elevator left on the 27th. I took a peek into their worlds before the doors closed again. Immaculate white carpet or buffed wooden floors and glass cases where old books sat idly. There were quite a few publishers in the building, both online and in print, and there was even a newspaper on one of the floors. I could have been in the elevator with the editor for Nora Roberts, for all I knew. Whenever I came to visit the offices, I was always hyper-aware of how people took one look at me and my squeaky flats and darned hose and too big plaid overcoat, and came to the conclusion that I was not tall enough to ride this ride. Which, fair, I stood at around 5'2", and everything I wore was bought for comfort and not style. Rose, my roommate, always joked that I was an 80-year-old in a 28-year-old body. Sometimes I felt it. Nothing said Netflix and chill, quite like an orthopedic pillow and a wine glass of Ensure. When the elevator doors opened onto the 37th floor, I was alone, grasping my cactus like a life vest at sea. The offices of Falcon House Publishers were pristine and white, with two fluorescent bookshelves on either side of the entryway, touting all of the bestsellers and literary masterpieces they'd published over their 75-year history. At least half of the left wall was covered in books by Anne Nichols. The Sea Dweller's Daughter, The Forest of Dreams, The Forever House. Once my mom sighed over when I was a teenager writing my smutty Lestat fanfic. Next to them were Anne's newer books. The Probability of Love, A Rake's Guide to Getting the Girl. I was most proud of that title. And The Kiss at the Midnight Matinee. The glass reflected my face in the book covers. A pale white and sleep-deprived young woman with dirty blonde hair pulled up in a messy bun and dark circles under tired brown eyes, in a colorful scarf and an oversized beige sweater that made me look like I was the guest speaker at the Yarn of the Month Club and not one of the most distinguished publishing houses in the world.